Hi everybody, and it's nice to be here back in Capra, and I'd like to thank the organizer for allowing me to speak. And today I'm going to present a recent work done in collaboration with Richard, Andrea and Paolo about the detectability of a secondary spin in memories with relativistic waveforms. And as already mentioned by Martin at the very beginning of this Capra, one of the reasons why we should include the spin of a secondary in the gravitational waves in post-adiabatic expansion, just because it enters at the same level of the cell force, so in principle it affected and be considered, and indeed the effect of a secondary spin induces a relevant phasing of around 10 radians. The next question one may ask is, can we measure the secondary spin? And indeed, some work was done almost 10 years ago with the post-Newtonian fluxes and clutch waveforms. And the goal of this work is what happens if instead of considering post-Newtonian fluxes and clutch waveforms, we consider Tarkovsky waveforms, fluxes, and Tarkovsky waveforms, so fully relativistic waveforms. To address this question, we'll consider a Fisher matrix approach. And first of all, let me just briefly show you the equation of motion for a spinning body, something which is apparently been shown in our talk before. And for what's concerned with work, I'm using like the Tulchiev-Dixon supplementary spin condition, which has the nice property that the mass of a secondary and its spins are constant of motion. And in particular, we focus here on circular equatorial orbits with spin aligned or antiline to the primary spin. And in this case, all the dynamics are fixed by the energy, the angular momentum, and orbital frequency of the object. And concerning the parameter estimation, we consider a Fisher matrix approach, which the distribution, probability distribution of parameters approximated by a Gaussian distribution, and the Kumarian matrix is given by the inverse, or what is called the Fisher matrix, given by the scalar product of the derivative of your waveforms respect of all of your parameters. And in this case, we have 11 parameters. We are the masses, the spins, the initial radius, the initial phase, angle, and the distance. And as Olli already told us about, the Fisher matrix approach is very problematic because these matrices are ill-conditioned. This means a small systematic error in the Fisher propagates and can give you large systematic error in the covariant matrix. In our case, we in some cases meet like waveform with more than 90 digits obtaining stable Fisher and stable covariance matrices. And for modeling the spinning secondary, it's useful to consider this parameter here, which is simply defined by the spin of a secondary is scaled by the masses of the binary, which leads to this quantity here, and clearly show that even if chi, the spin effective spin per second, can be large, in general, this quantity is much smaller than one in memories. So a convenient to what we have done is to linearize all the angular and Tarkovsky, angular radial Tarkovsky equation, and also the fluxes. This is consistent what has been shown in the literature that for a secondary spin at the first order in sigma, this balance equation still hold. And in our work, we assume that we neglected the radiation reaction of a spin tensor and assume that the spin of a secondary is constant. And moreover, we assume that the orbit remains circular and equatorial, something that is written, I didn't say, but we linearize everything by keeping the orbital radius fixed. And we assume that this equation still holds, but still there are no proof that this is all for a spinning body. And concerning the linearization, The Angular-Tarkovsky equation defined what is called an eigenvalue problem. It is what is called an irregular Sturm-Liouville problem, but for real frequency, still retain much of a problem or property, sorry, of a regular Sturm-Liouville problem, which means that you can consider a spin as a perturbation, expand everything, and compute the first order correction using the same formula that you use for in quantum mechanics for a non-degenerate perturbation. While the first order correction for the angular function is to be obtained as by simply expanding the Levy method in sigma, and the zero order correction use the black hole perturbation toolkit. Regarding the radial Tarkovsky equation, instead we use what are called the Hyperboloidal slicing coordinates, which means simply that you have these ansatz of your homogeneous solution. And by plugging these ansatz into the radial Tarkovsky equation, you obtain a differential equation for psi. And the nice thing of this method is that the potential is short range, as it happened with Sasaki Nakamura, but most importantly, the oscillating behavior is already factored out. This means that one can consider very high modes and the equation are still very easy to solve. And we found some boundary condition, with that exact boundary condition for this equation here, it allowed to expand everything in the spin of a secondary. And with all the machinery in place, we compute the error, the Fisher matrix error on our parameters. The two things to notice that, first of all, our error are in agreement for the Tricksy parameter, what we said been already obtained in the literature. And by considering more multiple, we here, for example, L equal 2, we solve with all m, and here means like consider up to L equal 3 and L equal 4. Adding more multiple does not change the error of the spin of the intrinsic parameter, but it improves the error on the distance and the error on the localization of the spin of the primary. Doesn't change, doesn't affect the error on the localization of the prime of the source. So what happens when you consider the spin of a secondary? Is it measurable? The answer is no. Unfortunately not. It's not measurable. It's not measurable, and worst thing, it affects all the intrinsic parameter and it spoils their measurabilities. They are still measurable. This is something that I didn't say, but it has been written. These are the log 10 of the error, so this means like 10 to the minus 2 for the error. And this is the fact of the spin of a second is not measured is due to, like, most likely with correlation. If you want to consider like a prior, in which is limit the range of the spin of a second to minus 1 and 1 to physical value, typical for the physical value of the spin and one would expect for a Kerr black hole to minus 1 and 1. With that, the error on the secondary spin decreases, but most importantly, you obtain the same error on the extrinsic parameter that you get if you simply neglect the secondary spin. So let me conclude. Using a Fisher matrix approach, we did a parameter estimation analysis of the for circular equatorial orbits of the spin line, and we show that our result confirmed what is to be obtained with clutch waveforms. The secondary spin is not measurable, most likely due to correlation, and as a byproduct, we fully linearize the radial Tarkovsky equation sigma, and this can be usable, for example, the calculation of invariance, gauge invariance. And it would be nice to improve this work in many ways by considering more general orbits, so like doing a more sophisticated analysis. One last slide. All code is available at the GMONU, at the Git repository of the ROM group. And this work was made possible thanks to the Black Hole Perturbation Toolkit and the BixAct package. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Gabriel, for sticking with the time and for the nice presentation. So our next speaker couldn't make it. So even though we were already late, we have plenty of time for questions. So you can raise your hands.
Nice to know.
Yeah. We have one from Beatrice. I guess you can speak, Beatrice.
Yeah, I can unmute myself. That's really nice. Hi. I'm just still curious about that number of having 60 digits needed to make any conclusive statements. That, well, I'm not a data analysis person, so, but this sounds to me miraculous.
Well, it's just a problem of the feature, because also it depends mainly on the. Just a sec. Let me see if I can show myself. Okay. The connection still seems to work. There's a problem with the Fisher approach. For some parameters, we needed many, not that many, like 40. Many digits. It's just an intrinsic problem of the Fisher, nothing more.
I think your connection maybe is not good enough for the video.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We have another question from Juan. I can read it out, Juan, unless you want to speak out. Juan is asking if you introduce bias in other parameters, so when you if you neglect the secondary spin.
No. We didn't introduce any bias. Just a prior. We have considered two cases. Just one case, a prior for the secondary spin, and another case with no prior at all.
Yeah, and I guess with the Fisher matrix, you wouldn't know if you're introducing bias, I think. So Nia has another question. Go ahead, Niels.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask, do you have a sense of how the inability to measure the secondary spin varies with the mass ratio? I get the impression as you move to kind of in IMRI regimes, it would be measurable. So did you look at how it varies as a function of the mass ratio?
No, we didn't look at it, but indeed there's some old paper made by Huerta and Gehr about the measurability of the spin with for IMRIs. And indeed they are measurable, but with a mass ratio quite large, and I remember like spin secondary need to be like 5 × 10³ solar masses, so in the number.
We have one more question from Georgios. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to ask, this is a post-adiabatic term. So this indicates also something about the other post-adiabatic terms. Can we say something like this? That
you mean for the cell force effects?
Yeah, for example.
No, I think not. Also, I have to say also this is a very special as. It has been discussed yesterday. It's a very special orbital configuration. Like, probably if you like break with the energy by considering not eccentricity by precession. No, maybe you can say something if you do some calculation with cell force and precession in the spin of a secondary, but I'm not sure.
Okay, we have one more question from Adam, and then I guess we'll move on. Adam, go ahead.
Thank you. Just to relay something that Lior mentioned to me earlier today, the reason that adding a spin, you know, reduces your accuracy of estimating the other parameters, is that you're adding an extra parameter, so you don't have that same effect when you go from adiabatic cell force to post-adiabatic cell force, because it's still the same number of parameters. So you increase your accuracy without reducing your ability to estimate the parameters.
I'm saying that in this case we are reducing we are increasing the error because we are simply adding an extra parameter. Also, just to stress that if you want to consider chi is spin unbounded, the error increase, but if chi is like you put a constraint, the error like becomes as you don't consider the spin of the segment. So for sure, if you do like some analysis of a Markov chain analysis, if you put a prior, you have like something more, but still it's worth it to do something more general, because this is a very special configuration.
Yeah, I think it's very important to look at the bias, as other people are mentioning, to see whether you're actually getting a worse estimate if you exclude the spin, even if you're losing some accuracy or some precision in your estimate.